Hi, everybody. Attic name Mike. Hi, good morning. And what's the proper protocol? So I'm from the east of the Bay Area, and my home group, and that's on the eastern shore of Maryland. And my home group is Clean and Serene Dreamers, and that's in Easton, meets every Thursday night at the Dover Street Club, which is at 315 Dover Road, Easton, Maryland, 21601. And it's a beginner step meeting. So, and actually we do the first step and tradition on the first Thursday, the second step and tradition on the second Thursday, the third step and tradition on the third Thursday. So that's what's coming up this next Thursday. And man, it's July. So I'm really hopeful that on the last Thursday we do the seventh step and tradition of the month. So we'll see what happens. Because it could go either way, you know. It could go. It's been my home group for 16 years. I looked, and I don't know how you decide what home group you're going to join. Some people, they look and they go, I'm looking for the best home group, and I'm going to join that group. And for me, I looked, there were five meetings in my town, little tiny, you know, country town. And my assessment at the time was, this is the group that's going to fold. And if I don't join it, probably it's going to fold. And we only have five freaking meetings, so let me join this one. And right after I was in college at the time, right after I joined it, I got extra credit at school. They said, hey, who wants to do extra credit? And look, I'm the worst student. Knowing yourself is really, really good. So legit, I'm going to go to every class. I'm going to do all the homework. And if you say, here's extra credit, I'm going to go. I'm going to skip my home group to get the extra credit because I'm the worst student. I don't want to miss anything. And after 4 weeks of doing extra credit, I showed up at my home group, and there were six members there, and three of them said, we're glad you're back because we quit. We quit. We have another home group or whatever. There was a couple different reasons. And they're like, and we're going to lay some service on you. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was the treasurer for the... Am I loud enough? Do I need to speak closer? Okay, let me speak closer. Did you hear what I said already? I can repeat it. Okay. And then I was the treasurer for like the next 10 years. And look, I'm coming every week, so I'll take the money. I won't spend it on dumb stuff, you know. I'll write it in the book and pay the rent and stuff like that. I still write the check for rent comes out of my, you know, bank account. Give me the $80. I'll write the rent check. And, you know, it's members that have clean time that are responsible that give our fellowship stability. I was thinking about a lot of the things Kermit shared last night. And, you know, the people in our fellowship that have the most clean time are probably the sickest people, right? And I'm not trying to put them down, but literally, if you join a fellowship that is very small or doesn't even exist, you're betting your life on a dream. And so I've always really appreciated the commitment and the vision that people that came before me had to bet their lives on something that didn't really exist, you know, or that looked at NA and said, you know, if I would step forward and do something, this could really be great for me, for the people that aren't here yet. And, you know, and that's, you know, if you get clean in the 80s, that's really something that happens. So, like for me, I've always want to tell you a little bit of a story about showing up in Narcotics Anonymous and what happened to my addiction. And I really think I started using when I was 10, you know, drugs. And I used everything else that I, you know, I used other things that weren't drugs before then, you know. And I grew up in the 70s, and I learned that if you take something, you are, feel, or act better. And if I could take one to feel good, I'm going to take two to feel twice as good. You know, the first early Narcotics Anonymous, people talked about, you know, what if there was a pill that could cure addiction? And my answer immediately is, I would take two. Absolutely, right? 100%. And so, you know, I used everything I possibly could. They told me in junior high that if you took certain drugs certain ways, you would lose your mind. Don't do this because you're definitely going to lose your mind. And my friend said, I didn't lose my mind. I said, well, give it here, you know. And progression of the disease, you know, I did all the different drugs. There's one drug that I didn't do or felt like I shouldn't do, but I basically did drugs from every different class. And look, you know, you guys told me early on, Mike, shut up. Stop talking about the drugs that you did because it's actually not helping anybody. We're all staying clean off of everything. And the answer is, you know, why don't you make friends with people around here and chase your recovery like you chased your addiction? And don't ask those people what they used. And make friends with the people that come natural to you. And you know, I had like 2 or 3 years clean, and I asked the guys that I was hanging out with what drugs they used and found out that none of us used the same drugs the same way. And they were my best friends, you know. Because actually, I didn't have any idea how to be a friend before coming to Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, hitting the ground running with, like, let's chase some meetings. Let's do something with our lives is the greatest. It was the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And, you know, so... I guess I really didn't know what happened. I'd gotten caught up in the court system. I'd been to outpatient treatment, and I had a whole bunch of bad stuff happen. I wrecked 2 cars in a couple days. I had a bunch of charges for possession of drugs, and for whatever reason, I decided in the last... So of course, it was the last time I was seeking help. My mom had worked for the social... the social service department in Delaware. And so she learned about all these treatment programs. And I went to one, and I'm pretty sure that what happened for me was there was a tech there. So I saw the doctor one time while I was there. I saw the nurses a couple times, and they medicated me. And there was a tech there that said, you know, I'd listen to your story. He'd listen to what I had to say. And he said, well, probably you should go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. And based on what you've told me, you should probably go to Narcotics Anonymous. And I went to some meetings in the cafeteria at this institution. And I left out of there thinking, well, I know how to use and I know what all that brought me. So let me check out this Narcotics Anonymous. You know, what if I did something different? Just maybe. And so I decided to do that. So I left out of there. I had signed a contract with my mom that I would get a haircut. And there were no halfway houses at this time. So I went and back to live at my parents' house with my abusers. And Joe said to me before the meeting, tell us about shame and guilt. And it's like, and actually, you know, I grew up with... you know, both of my parents got divorced right after I got clean, about a year after, and my little brother was terrorized by me and the way I would act in active addiction. And my mom displayed her guilt techniques. Like the course of active addiction for me, anytime I got in trouble, I would have to get a speech from my mother about how she didn't raise drug addicts and how she didn't raise me to be this way. And guess what? It doesn't actually work. Trying to guilt me into acting right did not do anything except get some resentments about this shame and guilt and have to do a bunch of work that probably isn't even good enough at this point. So it wasn't good enough. I need to do more work, right? So... No, and I don't know if the recent events has caused me to realize that I need to do more work. And, you know, you ever read the basic text? In there it talks about, like, we turned to an experienced member and asked, what was it like for you? And they would say, well, you're right where you're supposed to be. And so philosophical. There's so many Yodas around Narcotics Anonymous. And I heard a guy share that you're right where you're supposed to be for the work that you've done. That if you would put work into the program and do some work on yourself, you know, when the next problem comes up, you would have more tools to handle it. And the truth is that if the only tool you know how to use is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And so for me, you know, I want to put some work into the program to get some tools so that if it's actually a screw, I get out the screwdriver as opposed to the hammer, you know, because that's actually changed the way I live, you know, the work I put into the program. I just jumped right into what I was saying. I started talking about my home group because that's what you guys have been doing. And I really wanted to say thank you, Brenna, for asking me to come and share. Thank you, Shaney. Thank you. I wanted to tell you this story. I've been to the Brenna camp out a few times. And one of the years was before the years that you guys have rented the whole campground, but it was at a time when we were just in the J loop for the whole weekend. And what I remembered was that people from my area had found out about Worldwide Narcotics Anonymous. I grew up in the Small Wonder area, Northern Delaware. And are you guys from Small Wonder? So look, people from Small Wonder came here in the 80s. There was a guy that hooked up with everyone. He was friendly. And then he told the newcomers, hey, come on. And so, you know, there are people from Small Wonder that came here to these early Brenna campouts, probably like at least the third, probably the beginning. A guy named Frank Roberts was a guy that I made friends with, and he had told all the newcomers. So, you know, my area, there were people that were like, we're going camping to Brenna. And I'll be honest with you. You know, when I got clean, I had 35 points on my Delaware driver's license, and I'd wrecked two cars right before I got clean, and I didn't have a driver's license. And probably I would have felt really sorry for myself if I'd have known I won't have a driver's license for my first 18 months clean, and this is consequences of my own actions. So, you know, I had a year and a half clean, and I got a $400 car, and I got my driver's license back, and people in my area said, we're going to Brenna. And so I got out the map, you know, and I said, where is this thing? And I decided I would go. So my first NA event that I went to after I got my driver's license, I had, in a car, I came to Brenna 7. And I think actually your banner has the logo that came off of the flyer that I still had, or the schedule that came from my trip to Brenna 7. So I came here, I camped in the J Loop. And my friends, they were taking people in the fellowship, but they didn't actually invite me. They're just like, it's a free world. These NA events happen all around you. Make friends and go with them, or go by yourself. And that's what I did. I jumped in my car. I had a radar detector guy. It was huge. I mounted it to my dashboard with Velcro tape, and I got my first clean ticket. Either on the way to or on the way back from Brenna 7, because I'm going to drive this car actually as fast as it goes. And look, if you drive your car everywhere as fast as it goes at all times, you're going to get pulled over about every 2 weeks, and you'll get a ticket. And it's going to be big, because they're like, man, you're funding the policeman's ball. This is great. Thank you. You know. So anyway, you know, I guess continuing on with that story, I had 3 years clean and 45 points on my Delaware driver's license. And 45, that's my record. I don't have any points on my license now. I know. So, and actually at the end of that, they said, look, you can only drive to and from work. And I said, well, I go to meetings. And they said, well, you can drive to and from work and meetings. And I said, well, I don't go to all the same meetings. He said, well, if you get pulled over, you need to prove to the officer that you're coming to or from work or going to meetings. And I said, I can do that. And thank you so much. And look, for real, there's so many meetings you could go to. But what I did was I just drove everywhere. Look, I'm telling you the honest truth. I just drove everywhere still. And I drove exactly the speed limit, because I had this thing that said I could lose my license like forever. And I found out that if you drive everywhere as fast as you can go about 180 miles on this tank. And if you drive everywhere at the speed limit or less, you're going to go 400 miles on the tank. I'm telling you the truth. I found this out. It blew my mind. So, um, Look, someone asked me today, I was talking to Steve from the Blue Ridge area, and he asked me, how did I get a job sharing it at Brana? And I was a speaker here probably for the 31st one, about 10 years ago. I was a Saturday morning speaker, and I'm friends with this guy, Michael D., on Facebook, and he sent me a message right after last year's Brana that said, this is the greatest news, and I'm really pleased to let you know that you have been selected to be the main speaker for Brana 40. And I said, wow, this is really incredible. This is really great. I said, thank you, bro. I'm very honored. And, you know, a couple months went by, and he got back with me. He's like, I need you to know that you need to talk to Shaney. You need to send her your MP3. And I said, okay, that's fine, bro. I will. Thank you so much. You know, I messaged with him. He's a really nice guy. You know, I'd say that I was friends with him. So maybe like a month or so went by, and I sent Shaney a message. I said, hey, Michael told me I need you to send you my MP3 because you guys select me to be the speaker. And she said, we haven't even formed the committees for selecting the speaker yet. And we're going to. So when we do, would you like to be considered to be a speaker? And also, just so you know, I'm really sorry to tell you that, Michael died. And that's how I found out that he died. And but probably if I followed him better on Facebook, I would have known. You know, his services were listed on his Facebook wall. And I like that guy, right? So I said, man, this guy punked me. The dead guy punked me. It just made me laugh, right? So, solid guy. Look, we, you know. And so I said, yeah. Michael liked me. He wanted me to speak. I'll throw my MP3 in. I'm not a guy that, I definitely don't want to send my CD in, my MP3. You may not have my cassette, you know. I like going to NA events, and if I have to be the speaker, okay, I'm not promoting myself. You know, some people do, and that's fine, you know. Literally, who's going to carry this message? The greatest thing about Narcotics Anonymous is it's our members that carry the message, you know, and it's people that have had their lives change, and so I'm willing to do things for Narcotics Anonymous. Jeff said, where'd you go, Jeff? Jeff said, you know, oh, there you are. Thank you. Jeff said, I like to do any service, and I do, man. People told me, probably in the 80s, there was a big discussion about, you know, do you have recovery-based service or service-based recovery? And I know one of these is bad and the other is good. And probably, you know, and look, I joined Narcotics Anonymous and discovered that I'm obsessive and compulsive about everything because that's who I am, you know. That is, and, you know, things have changed. Things have gotten better, but literally, obsession, compulsion, total self-centeredness, can't see the forest for the trees, caught in this project. Probably NA service is the only thing that I've done obsessively or, you know, without really paying that much attention to what I should be doing that hasn't hurt me and done, it probably did hurt me, and done things that have helped other people, you know. So at the end of the day, if I ever regret being caught in the grip of something, at least NA service helped somebody else at the very least. You know what I'm saying? So look, Narcotics Anonymous, like I could give you details about my story and stuff, but in a lot of ways, Narcotics Anonymous gave me the freedom to live in a way that I couldn't, you know. My clean day is February 17th, 1987. And that makes... Okay, so that makes today my monthiversary, right? Does anyone know how many months it is? I heard Kermit share on at a meeting that you can't tell people how many months clean you have because no one is impressed by it. It doesn't actually mean anything. So if I said, today I have 425 months clean, you're supposed to go, oh, holy shit, I have to divide that by 12? What does this actually mean? And It doesn't really mean anything. What it really means is, just for today, you never have to use again against your will. You can join a fellowship that's so simple. You can follow it, spiritual principles in your daily lives. Make changes and have the freedom to live your life in a way that will make a difference, that'll mean something to you, that your family won't have to worry about what kind of suit or dress am I going to bury this addict in, because it's always looking like this. The only person that can do anything about me getting staying clean is me. The only person that can make a change in your life is you, and you can do it. I joined Narcotics Anonymous with a couple people that had a couple years clean, and I could identify with that, you know. And at my first convention, I met a guy that had 16 years clean, and that was like incredible. It was like the whole world. Narcotics Anonymous didn't have people like Kermit, dime a dozen at this point. How many people have 40 years clean? A whole shit ton of them, right? And I don't mean you're a dime a dozen, brother, right? But just the same, if you try to get out in the world and find out who's got 40 years clean, it's a lot of people, because Narcotics Anonymous is a proven program. People told me, Mike, don't join Narcotics Anonymous because it's not a proven program. So I checked out a couple 12-step programs, and I looked and said, well, I really belong in this one, so I think your advice is shit. I think I should just join Narcotics Anonymous, you know, because this is clearly where I belong. And so that was my choice, you know. I joined a Narcotics Anonymous home group with like about 42 days clean. And they asked me, Mike, will you please join this group? We think you'll be really good with the money, so will you be the treasurer? And there were two other home group members, and they voted. And I said, oh, holy shit, I've just joined NA Service. And it's been great. You know, one of the things that there are a few things that I've done that maybe I've done right. One of them is that I've stayed clean. You know, my choice to stay clean is very personal. I believe that if I use, I will destroy myself. And so staying clean, I stayed clean with the help of Narcotics Anonymous. I've had a home group ever since I joined that home group. You know, when I'm leaving my home group, it's like, which one am I going to join? I left a home group to join the group I told you about at the beginning of this talk. And I left the Saturday Night Serenity group in Easton, Maryland. I thought I could go every Saturday night, but legit, like if you join a home group, it's not really to be in name only. It means you're going to be there every week. And Thursday night's perfect. I could be at the meeting Thursday night and people can rely on me that I'll be there, you know. And I think it's the greatest. If you know when someone's home group is, you should be able to go there without having to talk to them in advance. Well, will you be here or not? It's your home group. I'll be there. I'll see you there. I'll surprise you with my presence. I joined a home group. I got a sponsor. I didn't get a sponsor right away because I didn't understand this program. I thought that asking this guy to be my sponsor would be very similar to having this probation officer that I had. And I didn't get it. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention. I got the fact that this is a program of total abstinence. And I probably had, 8 months clean or so when I asked the guy to be my sponsor. And I really asked him to be my sponsor because I'd moved from the town that I was in that had 13 meetings to a town that had one meeting, and it was at noon on Monday. And I wanted him to help me start the NA that didn't really exist in this place, you know. I'm a guy that bet my life on a fellowship that didn't really exist. And I moved to a college town with no NA. And it was really weird because I found out about NA and in college towns, a lot of addicts in college, they started NA and it really took off in a lot of places, not my town, you know. So I helped start 6 NA meetings with like 7 months to a year clean. We started a bunch of meetings and at this point they've all folded, right? But it doesn't mean that they weren't helpful. They helped a lot of people at that time. So let's see. Bet my life on NA. Stayed clean. Got a sponsor. And one of the things that I decided that I would do was I would do some NA service, you know, because I realized that who's going to open up this meeting? Who's going to lay out this literature? Who's making the coffee? And legit, you know, there's a lot of different things that you could do in NA service. Some of them are elected positions, and you could show up to a business meeting and say, I promise I'll do this job for 1 year. And it's really great, you know, because I didn't know anything about commitment. All I knew prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous is I got a feeling and I went to fix it and I just did what I wanted. And it doesn't serve me well, you know, as far as having things that last or having commitment in my life. And so all my practice around learning something about commitment came from taking a commitment, a euphemism for a service position. I said I would do something, so I did it, you know. And I was the treasurer at that first home group. But everyone in my local fellowship invited me to join every subcommittee that existed. And they would try to get me to do stuff. So I joined H&I, and I took an adolescent commitment, rehab. They said, Mike, you're pretty young. You should go do this commitment. And so I had a job sharing a meeting at the jail, at the adolescent jail. And I got a job doing the young people facility, psych hospital. And, you know, probably nothing really happened to me that was too terribly bad. You know what I mean? Like, life is really good. Just going to meetings, saying, like, I know my mission. Number one, I'm staying clean. Number two, I'm going to hit a meeting every day. I'm going to help some newcomers. We're definitely getting pizza after the meeting, and probably we'll play some video games, and probably it's my turn to buy the pizza, and I'm going to fund these newcomers and give them rides. You know what I mean? I'm going to try to talk everyone into getting a new way of life. And my life probably went like that for like 5 or 6 years. You know, at the end of going to college, I stopped going because I'm a screw up, which is why I told you, always go to all your classes, always do your homework, always do any extra credit, because after 5 years of going to college, I didn't have a degree. And I didn't have a degree. I dropped out, you know. And a lot of things, you know, like in Narcotics Anonymous, you get the change that you will do, you know. There could be consequences to this, you know. I probably had, 17 or 18 years clean when I got a bachelor's degree. And it was, okay, yeah, clap for that. You know, don't be afraid to go back. Go back to school. I was a single parent, parenting two young children, working full-time, going to school part-time, and I commuted an hour each way to go to school to get this bachelor's degree. And I did it. And at the end of it, it was like I got a job that gave me a 40% raise over the money that I had been making. And yeah, I know, because they were really ripping me off at that previous job. So big. Every year it was like, well, we'd give you a really big raise, except you don't have a bachelor's degree. So here's a little tiny raise. And that's how people talk in this world. And at the end of it, you know, I got a really great job in my career, doing what I wanted. It was really crazy. At the last classes I took for this bachelor's degree, I was with students that were born after I got clean. And because I was taking a freshman class, I had to take a physical education class to get this bachelor's degree. And it was ruthless. It was awful. I had a militant, it was the walk jog class, and I went to this class every day and ran like I was running a race, like a 5K with people that were, you know, younger than half my age, and it was just ruthless. But sometimes in life, you just got to run you know, what am I really trying to do? I decided that, oh, let me finish strong, you know, let me do it. And look, for real, I hurt myself so bad in this class. I had soft tissue injury that I couldn't actually walk or jog. And I couldn't walk or jog. And so I talked the department head into letting me use a stationary bicycle for the end of the class. And my general practitioner gave me a handicap parking placard. It was really bad. I couldn't even walk. Like, anyway, I needed a walker. It was so bad. And look, this is a long time ago. I think I'm in pretty good shape at this point, but for whatever reason, it was awful. hey, look, I'm not really sure where I am in this speech. So, and I'm telling you about like when I had 17 years clean and got my bachelor's degree, I talked about getting clean and I got the time check. So, you know, with like about 7 years clean, I moved from the area that I was in to the area that I've been in for the last 29, coming up on 29 years of being in the east of the Bay. Maybe I mean about 6 years clean, 6.5 years clean. I moved down there. And, you know, when you move from one area to another and you're like established and you know everybody, I would recommend making a 90-90. Get established in your new area. My attitude was, my home group is up there. I'm not going to be here very long. It was really nice meeting you guys, and I'm so glad I got a job so I could have health insurance so that when this baby's born, that someone will pay these medical bills, but I really don't belong here. And I felt that way, and the people in my area treated me that way. And I don't know if it's because I felt that way. It could be, you know. I had more clean time than everyone in the town that I moved to, and there was a guy that wanted everybody to know that, you know, the OG people around here that have this much clean time are the people that came around. You should listen to them. And he would name all the people that had originally gotten clean there, and he would leave me out. And for me, like, I've looked a lot at the traditions and how they work in my life and how they work, you know, in NA. And for real, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And I've decided that I'm going to try to never say anything to anyone that's going to make them feel like they don't belong here, that they can't recover here. Yeah, clap for that. You know, in dealing with you and being a part of NA and going to events and meetings and this kind of thing, I figured out that if you see a guy that you know is in NA and he's got his girlfriend with her, if you say to her, "Are you an addict, honey?" you've just identified yourself as a person that thinks that they're not. And maybe they are. But I don't ask the question. The information will come out. If they are, if they're not, people that get in relationships with addicts and Narcotics Anonymous, maybe, you know, there's something wrong with them, maybe. Yeah, but in a good way, probably in a really exciting way, you know. I know you guys. I don't ask anyone, you know, are you an addict, honey? In fact, I try to invite people to everything. You know, I listen to... Jeff was telling me something. It was a private conversation. I won't repeat it. But look, I mean, you know, I've gone to some NA events and spent the weekend with you and gotten to hug you and be a part of this and seen these clean time countdowns, and the numbers have gotten higher and higher and higher. And, you know, I've been to clean time countdowns where no one had over 10 years, you know what I mean? And now, you know, now it's like common to find that here's one guy with over 50, and then we have every year from 42 on down to the newcomer and straight on through. And that's Narcotics Anonymous now. And it's really great. You know, I didn't realize what was happening for me, you know, but I got clean when I got clean. And I looked and I saw Narcotics Anonymous as a zombie movie in reverse. You know, that you walk in here and you're like The Walking Dead. You know, you're practically dead, and you don't even know that all you needed to do was lie down and it's over. Do you know what I mean? And man, you made it. It's incredible. You know, it's incredible. Welcome, you know. And so I've really gotten to be a part of a fellowship where I've been given the gift of watching your lights come back on, you know. And I knew a lot of people. You know, the people I used with were the reason that I thought I didn't really have a problem, that I wasn't that bad, because I had a whole bunch of shit ton of lies that I told myself prior to coming here. And because everyone that I knew used like I used. But anyone that didn't use like I used around me once and got away because they said, "This is nuts, you know. I think Mike's going to die, you know, in addiction." And I was like, I'm just really revved up. But, there were times where I would leave my friend's house to walk home. And then there's like an 8-hour gap where I don't know what happened. And then I was home and everyone's like, "Where the hell were you?" And I was like, "I just walked home from Mike's. Chill." can you chill? There's tons of stuff like that, you know. Like, I never got a DUI, but, you know, I'm a guy that would rain X my windshield and I wouldn't use my wipers and everything's warp speed, you know, warp speed ahead. You know, so, you know, I was talking about, I realized that, man, I got blessed with a car and I'm going to go everywhere. I'm going to test the world. You know, what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous? And my job was to get a couple newcomers in the car, you know, and take them to this camp out. I was thinking, I looked at this picture that I had that hangs up. I had seven newcomers that I brought to this camp out. And I'm going to say it was 5 years ago. I think it was 2017. And we were, you know, right here by the nice stone. And the picture that I have is seven guys and me and another guy that's photoshopped into the picture because he was, you know, jealous that we went and he wished he was here. Well, that's the picture I have. This is the greatest, you know. So, you know, and you could play this, you could play a game with all of us. Whoever gets the most clean time wins. Whoever brings the most newcomers to the camp out wins. Whoever does the most H&I meetings wins. Whoever chairs the East Coast Convention the most times wins. Whoever puts the most basic text into jails from the East Coast Convention wins. You know, you can play a game with this. And like for real, Jeff was talking about East Coast Convention and you know, someone had said, hey man, this is really great. You can throw the convention. It was the roving convention that was, I went to East Coast Convention before it folded and sat through bid meetings and they're exciting, man. People call each other names at the bid meeting. I said, this spiritual fellowship is incredible. You've already had this convention. It's not your turn anymore. Let me censor the whole thing down. You know, not your turn anymore. It's our turn. And who are we going to vote for who gets the convention next? And people don't fight over this anymore. You know, I seen one fight over it in the last 10 years, and it was great. You know, it was really great. But, you know, joining a fellowship where the objective is to get better, work on yourself, survive your feelings, help other people, you know, live your life, you know. I was thinking the first time I came to Brana and I came down here with my, you know, 1979 Honda Accord semi-automatic transmission. It went from 0 to 50 in first, then 0 to 90 in second. And what a great car. It was really slow to get fast in second, right? So go from first to second, you know. And I didn't have any responsibilities. I didn't have anything to lose. I really didn't have anything, you know. I was just a college kid. And, you know, gas was less than $1 a gallon. And I'd quit smoking probably a couple times by then. Nobody wants to hear about that. It's the worst topic at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I don't think I'm going to say anything about it. But, you know, and at this point, you know, I've managed to live my life and I've gone through all the great things. I had a reservation when I first got clean. I said, probably I won't be able to survive if my grandparents passed away, you know. I shared in meetings that if my grandmother died, I would probably use it. And they told me, Mike, we would understand, but it would just be another excuse. Your grandmother prayed for you every day and lit candles in the Catholic Church, so it probably wouldn't do very much of a justice to her life if you relapsed when she died. And by the time my grandfather died, I had 8 years clean. And they said, Mike, would you pallbear for him? And I said, this is the greatest honor of my whole life, you know? And my grandmother died, you know, I was there and she is an old Italian grandmother and she would say, you know, to me in active addiction, Michael, you're so skinny, eat up, you must be hungry. And that's how you say I love you, right? And, you know, when my grandparents died, I didn't use. And, you know, and I figured out that, and you guys have shown me that you can stay clean through anything. There's examples of people in Narcotics Anonymous that who have stayed clean through everything, the worst possible thing that could happen. And that really the ninja move around in Narcotics Anonymous is when bad stuff happens, to not feel sorry for yourself, but be able to be grateful. That's what I learned from you. Be grateful that your problems are your problems and that other people's problems aren't your problems. That's a really great thing. If one thing good is happening for me, I can be grateful for that one thing. But if something terrible has happened, something I didn't want, I can be grateful for 100 things because of this one terrible thing, you know, still is my life, you know. And I really think that feeling sorry for myself is really not, you know, being honest with myself. It's like a fantasy that life could be different than it really is, you know. And so, you know, I'm here with my girlfriend. Sorry, ladies. I have a girlfriend. I'm here with my girlfriend and my two sons. I've got a 6-year-old son and a 12-year-old son. And they're probably what my life is most about. They are the greatest, you know. And I have two other children. They're older and they're grown. You know, I've got a 20-year-old daughter and I have a 28-year-old daughter. And, you know, I look at, I know I'm probably, where's Shani? Where's Shani? Have you flashed me the time? Oh, yeah. Okay. I ignored her. I looked at the time. I said, she promised me that she would flash me a sign. And I must be like, la, la, la. You know, being able to have the freedom to live and enjoy my life without the use of drugs because of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, there's a reward that comes from using. I could go into oblivion and forget about these problems, but just the fact that I don't have to, just the freedom that I could stay clean and live my life, I realized when I got clean that, man, I was 5'11" in my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting and I weighed 108 pounds. And it's because I did not have time to eat. And also the drugs that I use caused me to lose weight, right? So there wasn't much of me, you know. I wore size 12 shoes, big feet, little tiny skinny guy falling over. And I was the walking dead. All I had to do was lay down, you know. And the drugs that I did caused me seizures. I was scared of what I was doing and everyone was scared of me. And today I'm not scared of what I'm doing. I'm making choices with my life, you know. I can show up powerfully and have relationships, you know. Lately, I think that I got divorced last year. I'd say 1 year ago, so many things have changed from this day to now. You know, I've moved 3 times. I moved 3 times in the last year and a half. And I've moved. And look, every time I've moved, I've always said, I never want to move again. This is actually the thing that I hate the most. And so I moved and, you know, all these changes. Well, and I got divorced. And all these things were things that I did not want. Did not want to move. I do not want to move again. When I move my stuff, I do not ever want to move again. You know, I bought a house last month, and probably all the stressful changes that could possibly happen in your life I had in like the last year. And I looked around and said, this business that I've started, that I've asked my partner to run, he's stealing this much money and I can't afford it anymore. So I fired him. And then I found out what doing all the work at this business that I have was all about, because I was like in la la land over, you know, the trauma that was happening that I didn't choose. And then it was like, man, I'm getting ripped off. And look, I don't want to make it sound like I'm a victim because I put myself in this position. But, you know, when you find out the people you trust, you can't trust, it's shocking, you know. So probably I chose it. And I don't know, honestly, if some of my childhood traumas come up, you know. And I started thinking about what my life was like and how and what I kind of suffered at the hands of my mother with the guilt and the shame over the things that I've done. And you guys helped me a lot a long time ago. You said, hey, Mike, guilt is you've done something bad. And shame is that you are something bad. And does this fit you? Is this right? I mean, are you something bad? And you guys have done a great job. You know, joining Narcotics Anonymous in a fellowship where people found out my name and remembered it the next day and cared and wanted to give me a hug at every meeting that I showed up to. This is so healing, you know. The dealers at the end of active addiction were like, they did not say keep coming back. They did not. They waved guns in my face and said, get out of here. We're going to get busted. Stop. You're not cool. That's the truth. When I got clean, I was not cool. Completely not cool. So, look, I mean, I think a lot of things have come up and a lot of feelings have come up. And look, the greatest thing about Narcotics Anonymous, if you practice the spiritual principles and the steps, you know, we are physical, mental, spiritual people. And the things that we talk about doing for ourselves physically is stop using, get off all the drugs. Don't use any, no substitutions, you know. And we talk about a spiritual program, working 12 steps with the guidance of a sponsor, turning your will and your life over to God's care, making changes, and having a great prayer life, cleaning up the past, making amends, changing the way I live. It has done a lot of things. Being able to take my own inventory, seeking help of a higher power and asking for what's God's will for me, carrying the message as a result of the changes. These things have been really powerful. But I don't know that Narcotics Anonymous program really talks so much about healing emotionally or healing mentally. There's some work in the steps that does this, but I really feel like there's work that I need to do, and I'm getting ready to do it. And it's weird. If I told you I've got 35 years clean and I've realized that there's things that I've neglected, I'm not going to be ashamed about it, you know? Everything's happened in its right time for me, you know? The things that have happened for me and the things that have happened to me and the work that I've done has happened at just the right time. And I don't know if the work that I should have done, could have done, I'm right where I'm supposed to be for the work that I've done. Look, I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful that Narcotics Anonymous program works. I'm grateful that you guys are here. I'm grateful for a fellowship that's kind of grown up around me. And I'm grateful for long-term friends, you know, along the way to meet you and to be friends with you and be able to just be like, brother, I love you. Let's go get dinner tonight after this speaker, you know. How are you? What are you doing? You know, a friend of mine said, let's go to AVCNA. And it was like 1989. And so I went every year for like the next 10 years. And then my life changed and I stopped going. You know, there's so many things that we could do to hang out, to spend the time, to fellowship, to compare yourself to everybody else. Do what you got to do to motivate yourself to work this program. So, man, I'm so grateful that you guys asked me to share. I don't know what Michael was thinking. Maybe I've shared something that's changed something for you. Hopefully I carried a message that you say, if Mike R can stay clean through his grandmother passing away or through having four kids, how about two marriages? How about, you know, getting fired from work or starting a business? Look, man, I'm going to make it. This business is going to be a big success and it's doing okay. The best thing I could have done was, oh, holy shit, you're stealing from me? Okay, you're fired. I hate to do it. You got to go, you know. You got to go. Do not clean out your desk. You got to go, you know. Anyway, look, man, sometimes in life you got to face stuff that's hard, you know. And maybe you go to an NA meeting and you share about it and it hits your answer machine before you get home, you know. I've always felt like, you know, this is an anonymous program. And news travels fast in our anonymous program. It's not gossip, it's concern. Even faster with cell phones in your hand, you know. And I think that cell phones has made our society worse than ever. I hate them, you know, and I got to use them. People want to know, why didn't you text me back in 3 seconds? You know, what the hell? I know your phone is on, you know. And anyway, it is what it is, you know. And if you're getting clean in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, maybe the world is better because you could hit an NA meeting on Zoom. But legit, you know, nothing like a simple loving hug, a hot cup of coffee in your hand, you know, being able to sit and say, Well, I don't know much, but one thing I know for certain is I'm an addict and my name is Mike. And thank you for letting me share. Yeah.